We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You're listening to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
By the way, going back to that that question about the undefeated 49ers and undefeated Rams, Justin School versus Aaron Donald is something that you need to be a little bit worried about until you know more about Justin School. We'll get to know more about Justin School in an hour from now when tackle Mike McGlinchey joins us. He was talking about Justin School and Joe Staley. This is Mike McGlinchey from today.
Joe had Justin over last night and stuff, helping him out, and I'm helping Justin out as much as possible. I think my admiration for Joe has gotten even stronger here in the last 4 days because of the way he's handled this. He's been nothing but a great teammate and showed who his true colors of. The only thing he wants is for us to be successful, his brothers on the offensive line, and for this team to win football games, and he's going to do that every way he can, whether it's coaching in a boot or if he's playing with us in a couple weeks.
Mike McGlinchey comes up in an hour from now here on 95.7 The Game.
Can I tell you why I probably have more faith in Justin School than I ought to?
Tell me.
We never quite got to this yesterday, but I've been doing my best Justin School scout because obviously he's going to be an important piece of the Niners this weekend.
So Justin School, who are you?
Yeah, it's hard to find that out when you're talking about a sixth-round draft pick out of Vanderbilt. But the general report on him seems to be good size, not a great athlete, got the job done in college with intelligence. And the lack of physical tools means probably a guy who you're not going to want to be your left tackle over the long term. But if we're talking about a sixth round pick thrust into action in his rookie year, I'd rather have the guy who's familiar with the idea of using his brain to work around his deficiencies than the guy who maybe you drafted because you like his athleticism, but he's not prepared mentally for the level of football that you're playing.
But to play Aaron Donald, you really need to be physically gifted and smart, which is why what I think is going to happen here is that the 49ers are going to have to put George Kittle on that side of the line a lot to help with blocking. Because
sorry, who are we talking about?
What?
When you play who?
When they play against the Rams. I thought that's right. What we were talking about.
Well, no, that was a fictitious scenario that I went back to just to say that, you know, before you can assume anyone's going to beat anybody, like just Aaron Donald versus Justin School should give you pause enough.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Aaron Donald versus anyone is scary enough.
Yeah, they'll have to help Justin School. I'm just saying, all things being equal, I'd rather have the sixth rounder who's here because he knows how to process the game mentally, as opposed to the sixth rounder who's here because, man, he's big and maybe we can teach him a few things.
Right, especially when quick turnaround time feels like it's a big part of getting ready.
That's my point.
Yeah, and one without the other, frankly, is not going to help you with against Aaron Donald anyway. But, I mean, yeah, I'd rather have the smart guy who can learn techniques than the big guy who can't.
888-957-9570. Much more coming up on the 49ers. We do have Mike McGlinchey coming up at 5, and at 5:30 today, we will say hello to Charlie Batch, who spent an awful long time backing up Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. He is part of the Pittsburgh Steelers game day broadcast, and we will talk to him about the game that we hope to see this Sunday down at Levi's Stadium. Right here and right now, I got Steph Curry sound for you. Let's get right into the meaty part of it. This is Rachel Nichols asking Steph about a third MVP. He's like, yeah, gimme.
At the end of the day, winning an MVP would be special. And it's something that I've experienced before and would love to experience again.
You've experienced it before twice.
Yeah, I would love to push the envelope, push the limits a little bit.
I would love to see him do that again. I would love to see Steph Curry throw down the kind of season that makes everybody go, not only is he one of the great players ever, but look at the choices he made for championships. Look at the unselfishness that was on full display from this guy to make sure that Kevin got his, that Clay was kept happy. Now he's going to be working in D'Angelo Russell, Draymond Green. By the way, this is like a segment I'm waiting to do, and we don't have to wait that much longer because what's absolutely unbelievable is that the Warriors are playing the Clippers in 37 days.
The first preseason game is about 2 weeks, I believe.
It's insane. It's insane. If you want any proof that time marches fast, wait until you see how quickly we get to the next NBA season. It's right around the corner.
Can't wait.
It really is. It's right around the corner. 37 days. Watch Draymond Green explode offensively a little bit this year. To me, the single most interesting guy to watch on this team is going to be, what is Draymond Green now that he's going to have to score a little bit more to make this all work right? Watch Draymond. I think he's going to have a monster year. I really do. I think Draymond's going to remind everybody about who the heartbeat, who the nasty defensive player. Like, I'm ready for some Draymond. I really, really am. Anyways, back to Curry talking to Rachel Nichols.
Quickly, on the MVP topic, I think it's worth remembering. The first time Steph Curry won the MVP, he scored less than 24 points a game. So he actually scored more in every single year alongside Kevin Durant than he did in his first MVP season. It's not necessarily about scoring as much as it's about the consistency with which the ball flows through Steph Curry. That, to me, is what went down more so than just scoring.
Usage.
Usage rate overall, exactly. And I think that's what's really going to skyrocket this year.
Steph Curry gave Rachel Nichols a tour of the brand new facility that the Warriors can't wait to open up officially. Again, it's going to be right around the corner. The conversations went in a lot of different directions. They are going to have facial recognition tracking software. So the minute any player steps on the court, there's no such thing as this shot didn't count. Every shot every player puts up at all times is being measured, weighed, stat tracked. All of it.
I know people are going to be like annoyed by that, but I think that's so cool.
Totally.
And real high-level professionals are going to use that data so well. Like the way a guy like Steph Curry, I mean, we even saw, say what you want about Antonio Brown in a thousand different ways, but we saw some insight into how he tracks his own training regimen and can specifically focus on little athletic things that'll give him a small advantage. And we know already how serious Steph is about the training. This gives everyone on the team the ability to track themselves almost as aggressively as Steph Curry, which you got to imagine, like, the 13th guy on the roster can't afford that kind of stuff, right? So this is huge for players on the fringe who are committed to really trying to get better in the most creative ways.
I don't care that he does all that. I expect that he will do that because He went to next level technology to make sure that his ankles stopped being faulty.
Yeah, but I mean, not everyone else on the roster is capable of doing it until they build a facility like this.
I understand that. But to me, that's part of the how the car works stuff that doesn't interest me nearly as much as watching the car go. And you have to do those things to make the car go. And I get that. And I'm not against technology to do that. But I want to see the car. I don't really want to see it up on the rack.
The conversation that Rachel had with Steph did get to Kevin Durant and his exit. First of all, let's talk about the time that was spent. How does Steph Curry sum up what he just went through?
I don't even care what plays we ran. We won two championships. We talked a lot about it throughout the 3-year run. The word sacrifice in terms of playing a little bit differently than we all had been accustomed to over the years. We all want to play ISO ball at the end of the day in some way, shape, or form, but I'd rather have some championships too.
Championships, ball movement, the prettiest basketball that we all agreed that's the style we want to see. I think it comes back with a vengeance this year. I really do. I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun to watch, to listen to just consume. Regular season basketball matters again. When it comes to the fact Durant never quite felt like one of the group, Steph talked about that.
I mean, that's tough. There's so many narratives that go on, especially when you're at the top of the league. But at the end of the day, I think he knows, you know, what we were about as teammates, what we were about as friends on and off the court, whatever he, you know, needed to do to make that decision. And however he wants to explain that, you know, that's just what's going to happen.
Curry, forever the diplomat. I don't think there's ever going to be a Golden State Warrior who turns around and is like, you know what, man, let me tell you what really happened here. And that guy, let me, it might be Draymond one day. But that day won't be while Draymond's still in a Warriors uniform. He will not burn down anything or anyone involved with a legacy while he's standing under the banners that he helped hang. But when it's all said and done with, I do want to read the Draymond Green autobiography. It's going to be spicy.
I don't think there's anything to burn down.
Whether or not you do, I don't think Draymond Green's going to do that either, because Kevin Durant is one of his guys. And even though they had that incident that everybody likes to reference, if it was going to linger, you'd have seen it. It was two guys blowing up, two guys taking a while to remend their relationship, and it was mended. I think in the end, Draymond Green is going to say there's no value in me trying to pick a fight with Kevin Durant after the fact when I didn't pick the fight with him during it. So I think that's not going to happen. I think Kevin Durant will always be thought of by his teammates and those around him as an important part of the best years of their competitive lives.
Huh, like almost like he was the finals MVP for both of those titles or something.
No, that had nothing to do with it. No, I just don't think they have enough animus toward him to make a case for that.
One more sound, but I want to play real quick, because where we haven't seen Steph is in the Olympics. The Olympics are in 2020. Team USA could use a player like him. Is he interested?
That is the plan, for sure. You know, obviously, knock on wood.
So you're committing. You're willing. You're going to go.
Definitely want to go. That's something that I've never experienced. I've never been on the Olympic team. I've been on two World Cup championship gold medal teams. But the Olympics is the experience that I want, and next year will hopefully be there.
He wants to go. Let's see if his body will let him go. But interesting stuff there from Steph Curry. We've got you coming up next for a little name game. It's the simplest game you could ever play. Somebody in sports with two first names. We figure out who they are by a sequence of yes or no questions asked by you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Today, we're playing for SmackDown tickets. We'll give you all the details next. That's coming up. 888-957-9570. The name game, a chance to win tickets to see WWE SmackDown. That's happening next here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7, The Game.
All right, we're about to get into the name game here. But first, let's tell you that the A's are now 31 games over 500, a walk-off for Mark Canha today. RBI double, he did it on the day that it's his own T-shirt day. You got to like when a guy comes through
synergy
on his own souvenir day. If you're going to be good when they're giving away your T-shirt, your bobblehead, your sticker.
Yeah, all the Mark Canha fans in the ballpark.
Usually guys get traded then.
You're not wrong. 1-0 win in 11 innings. The A's magic number is now down to 8 to secure a place in the postseason. Congratulations. 31 games over 500. Not too shabby. 888-957-9570. It's officially time to play our name game today. We're playing for SmackDown tickets, or SmackOff tickets. What is this called again? Of course, I moved my piece of paper. What was it?
SmackDown.
WWE invading San Francisco, coming to the new Chase Center with back-to-back events. First, it's Monday Night Raw, September 23rd, and then it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see SmackDown, Tuesday, September 24th. We're playing the name game. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com, but if you know the name that we're thinking of today, they can be yours. Let's go ahead and play the name game, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
The Name Game.
Starring anyone with two first names.
What's your name?
My name?
Dirt first. It's a funny name.
What'd you say his name was again?
His name is Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby. He's got two first names.
Now, here's your host with two first names, Damon Bruce.
All right, so here we go. Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky, that's the name right there. It's written down for everyone in the studio to clearly see. There will be no Fugazi. There will be no bait and switch. And there will be no caller getting it right off the rip. First guest today. There won't be any of that either. We made sure of that.
Luckily, I already knew the name, because if I didn't, I'm not reading that.
That looked like a doctor wrote it. You're right. Sorry. 888-957-9570. Yes or no questions will get us to our answer, and our winner will begin with Josh. Josh in Alameda, what is your yes or no question, Josh?
The former NFL quarterback.
No, thank you very much. We go to Nathan in Dublin. Nathan, name game's on you, yes or no?
Is he a current NFL quarterback?
No, not a current NFL quarterback. This is Sar, S-A-S-A-R, Sar in Oakland. Sar, what is your yes or no question?
Oh, wow, third. Is he a NFL player in general?
Yes, he is an NFL player.
Okay. Is he a wide receiver?
No. Thank you very much. Appreciate you listening and your call. You can hop on his line, 888-957-9570, playing for a pair of tickets to go see SmackDown on September 24th. This is Chase. By the way, SmackDown's going to be at Chase Center. Chase Fremont, what's your yes or no question?
Is he going to be playing at Levi's this week?
No, thank you very much. This is Jeff in Sunnyvale. Jeff, what's your yes or no question?
So does he play in the NFC?
No, he does not play in the NFC. Thank you very much. 888-957-9570 to hop on the empty lines.
This is the name game I remember. I feel much better.
Yes. I was feeling dirty the last few weeks.
Way too easy.
Anthony, Daly City. Anthony, you're next in line. What's your yes or no question?
Does this player play on the Patriots?
No. Thank you very, very much. This is Lefty in Oakland. Lefty, your yes or no question?
Does this player play in the AFC?
Yes.
All right. My other guess was already foiled. I'm going to go with another question. Is this guy an NFL quarterback?
No. Had you been listening, we've already established that. This is not a quarterback. This is not a wide receiver. This is a player who calls the AFC home. Dennis. San Francisco, Dennis. What is your yes or no question?
Hey, Damon. Is this player a running back?
Yes.
Is this player a running back on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, thank you. Again, we answered that when it was asked, is this player playing at Levi Stadium this Sunday? We said no. It's not James Conner. I know a lot of you wanted it to be.
Except maybe that guy was thinking Connor's going to be out. He's outthinking himself.
He was outthinking himself.
This player has no opportunity to play at Levi's Stadium this weekend.
Thank you very much. Nick Newark, what is your yes or no question?
Is this a player in the Bay Area?
No. Thank you very much. It is an AFC running back. We have established that. Nate and Gilroy, we're getting closer and closer to an answer. What's your yes or no question, Nate?
Does he play in the AFC East?
No. Thank you very much. Starting to nail it down. Getting closer and closer. Juan and Alameda, what is your yes or no question? We're playing for SmackDown tickets at Chase Center.
Hey, is he from the AFC West?
Yes.
Does he play for the Chargers?
Yes.
I got stuck.
You got stuck.
Oh, no.
You got stuck. Juan, I'm going to give you 2 seconds to unstick yourself.
Oh, Juan.
Juan.
Oh, Juan. I thought he had it.
Juan, you're going to.
There might have been buffering involved.
You're going to be very angry at yourself here in just a little bit, I have a feeling. We got Anthony and Vallejo. Anthony, we're getting closer and closer. What's your yes or no question?
Is this player Melvin Gordon?
What do you know?
Maximum!
Congratulations, Melvin Gordon was our name today. Poorly written down by me at the beginning of this.
What? Hold on, hold that up again.
It looks like Melvin O'Groton is what it really looks like. But it is Melvin Gordon. Congratulations, Anthony in Vallejo. Anthony, I'm going to put you on hold. Is Anthony now on hold? We're getting Anthony's information. Fantastic. Anthony just won tickets to go see SmackDown, favorite WWE superstars, coming on September 24th to Chase Center. Just gave away a pair of tickets. If you'd like tickets yourself, you can go get tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
I didn't realize until the text line started sending them in how many AFC running backs qualify for the name game.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a lot of them. Although my favorite text by far was the... Is it Travis Henry? Text. No, it is not Travis Henry. He has not played football in a very long time.
Anybody say Derrick Henry?
Yes, we got some Derrick Henrys, Philip Lindsay. There's a lot. I mean, Josh Jacobs almost qualifies.
Travis Benjamin.
A lot of two first name AFC talent position players.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Justin Jackson.
But here's the thing, Jacobs.
Yeah, that's a question
not
mark.
It's not a first name. No one's ever been named Jacobs.
Well, Justin Jackson, the other Chargers running back, also works.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson. All right, so there we go. A successful name game that we didn't burn the wick out in the first two questions.
Yeah.
Feels good. Felt like an actual game.
Yeah.
Not just me giving away a pair of tickets to the first person who can call in and say the color red. Hi, Damon, red. Congratulations.
Jalen Richard, another one.
I'm not convinced that's not a superior idea, though. Name a color.
What's amazing?
That's not the one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's amazing is that there was a guy who had time to text me, Damon, I can't call him at work. But you had enough time to let me know that. Thank you. Good stuff.
Well, no, it just meant that if he calls, his boss is going to be hammering him.
Probably.
He just wanted to let you know that he was working under a handicap. Otherwise, he would have won.
He would have been there. He would have been all over it. 49ers, they opened up the season with 40-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. It was the 18th best out of 32 teams, and almost that felt generous, totally, or they were. But expectations, well, the arrow was pointing up, right? So the number goes from 40-1 to 25-1. After a week one win in Tampa Bay, now they've got the 13th best odds after that win over Tampa Bay. But what does it really mean? Well, we do know that they took those odds to Cincinnati, and after slamming the Bengals, they're 20-1. 20-1 from 40-1 to win the Super Bowl after 2 weeks of football. And to put 20-1 into perspective for you, only the Patriots, Chiefs, Rams, Cowboys, Eagles, and Packers have better odds. The teams that I just named are essentially the teams that can say that they are football royalty in the year of 2019, our Lord. Everyone has great expectations for the Patriots, the Chiefs. The Rams, if they're not top shelf liquor, they're that bottle of liquor right under the top shelf. The Cowboys and Eagles are two teams that the one that stays healthiest probably comes out of the AFC East. And then you got the Packers, who we all know have a future Hall of Fame quarterback who might have a defense that really matters. So the 49ers are now tied with the Saints, Vikings, Ravens, and Seahawks. Kind of unfair and convoluted, but I'll do it anyways. Of the tied with 20-1 odds, who would you rank in the 20-1 odds power rankings of most likely to challenge and win a Super Bowl? The Saints, the Vikings, the Ravens, the Seahawks, or the Niners?
I think I'd go Seahawks most likely because I have the most faith in the quarterback. And the only reason it's not Saints is because I don't know what Drew Brees getting.
Right, who knows?
If Drew Brees is healthy, it's Saints. For me right now, I think it's Seahawks because I think ultimately your best chances with your best quarterback. That being said, the best team on this list, top to bottom, I think is the Ravens. It's just, can Lamar Jackson lead a team that successfully? I don't know. That's how I do it.
All AFC teams are eliminated, unless they're the Patriots.
That's a fair point, too. I didn't think about it that way. But if you're thinking about who actually... I was thinking which of these teams is the best. If you're thinking about who has the easiest path to actually reach a Super Bowl, then I would agree. You got to take AFC teams off.
The easiest team is the Vikings. They're in a soft division. Ooh. They have a great defense. And even if you don't like Kirk Cousins, he's good enough with the guys he's throwing to and with Dalvin Cook that they could squeeze 12 wins out of that team, even though it would be a generous squeeze.
You think soft division, NFC North?
Yeah. I don't believe in your team, and I don't believe in the Packers, and I don't even have to mention Detroit.
Wow. The Packers were on that list, too.
Well, I dismissed them.
Okay. They're 2-0. They beat a team you're not
so
dismissing.
So is Buffalo, and I also didn't figure them to be in.
Well, but Buffalo beat nobody. The Packers beat the Vikings, and who you just said had the best chance to go to the Super Bowl.
And they're an AFC team, which I'll agree with you. I will eliminate you based on the fact your name isn't Chiefs or Patriots.
Well, not even Chiefs. The Patriots are 5-4, which is essentially even money. That never happens in the NFL. That's how much money is coming in on this team. People can't shove it in fast enough. And since we're just talking about odds and not actual chance to win.
Oh, I thought we were talking about something else when you said shove it in fast enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that went
wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Sorry. He said it.
Well, no, but your mind took it to the place where it didn't need to go.
Correct.
That's a condemnation of you.
I'm going to be a skeptic. Are you ready?
Yes.
Niners not only haven't beaten a good team, the best player on the unimpressive team that they did beat wasn't even available all the way. Number one receiver Mike Evans had flu on a hot day where you beat Tampa. How dare you do that? Week two, guess what? You played the Bengals without their number one playmaker in A.J. Green on a day where their left tackle, Cody Glenn, was gone missing. Joe Mixon was playing injured. So there's nothing to see there over that win. Week three, no matter what you do against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it won't be decent enough because Ben Roethlisberger's out. Juju Smith-Schuster, not exactly going to be a big threat with a backup quarterback, you'd think. James Conner right now, missed practice today. I believe I read that somewhere.
Correct.
So we are setting ourselves up to not be impressed or have reasons why people will claim that they are not impressed with the 3-0 start. And I'm not going to argue with you. Like, those are significant developments. But you can only take the breaks you're handed, and the Niners haven't been handed any breaks in the last 5 years of football, basically. So they'd be more than happy to beat depleted teams as often as possible on the way to trying to be somebody. When we're still not sure if they are somebody, the 49ers going on a bye 3-0, that's the recipe for happiness right there. Anything other than 3-0 means you're not going to be as happy going into the bye, even with your two wins. You lose at home, it's going to feel an awful lot like here we go again.
And if you start, you can't start apologizing for beating depleted teams in the NFL because you'll be apologizing for all your damn wins. The Niners are a depleted team, too. They're missing their top two running backs, a wide receiver who they believe is a big part of the offense, another rookie wide receiver who looked awful good in preseason, and now they're starting left tackle. So if they beat the Steelers under those circumstances, sure, Roethlisberger's the most impactful injury, more than any of the Niner ones I just listed, but you don't apologize for NFL wins.
And somebody's here is like, well, who is Seattle beaten? They made Cincinnati look competent. Well, maybe Cincinnati's better than they showed against the 49ers. And I am not ready to just turn my nose up at any win in the city of Pittsburgh unless you're the Steelers. That's not an easy place to play. The Seahawks went and won a game where they knocked Big Ben out. And they're not apologizing for that. Like, what do you mean? No. Who have they beaten? Well, they've only played two teams. And I guess, if you don't like either one, yeah, you're not going to be impressed. But Seattle has pedigree, and you can't ignore it.
And they have a quarterback who's proven to be one of the best in football. So that, to me, is always a threat. The team with the great quarterback usually figures it out.
I would just correct you on one thing, though. The Steelers didn't knock Ben Roethlisberger out of the game. Ben Roethlisberger.
You mean the Seahawks didn't?
The Seahawks
right.
didn't.
Right.
His elbow, I guess, had been bothering him for at least a week. That's what Mason Rudolph said. So basically, his elbow just collapsed on its own.
It wore out during the game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm. But everything else is.
Right. He bounced it off the turf at one point, injured, re injured it, and then when he decided to check out of the game, he wasn't even touched. A non contact.
You saw him grab the arm right after he threw. It's not good.
Looked like Tommy John, man.
It did. Yeah.
888-957-9570. We've got Mike McGlinchey joining us at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to talking to him about what the Niners are going to do to try to replace Joe Staley in the meantime. How far do they go in investing into a replacement? Well, they don't need to go anywhere if Justin School can be the guy. Mike McGlinchey mentioning how much Joe Staley has earned his respect just with working with the backup tackle this week.
Joe had Justin over last night and stuff, helping him out, and I'm helping Justin out as much as possible. I think my admiration for Joe has gotten even stronger here in the last 4 days because of the way he's handled this. He's been nothing but a great teammate and showed his true colors of the only thing he wants is for us to be successful, his brothers on the offensive line, and for this team to win football games. And he's going to do that every way he can, whether it's coaching in a boot or if he's playing with us in a couple weeks.
Garoppolo.
I think we have the right locker room to do that. Right coaching staff, they preach it to us every day. You know, just have that mindset. I think we have a good group of guys. You know, guys who come in. I mean, you could tell the intensity is just as high today as it was first week. So that's the way you got to have it throughout the year.
There you go. No Dobber down. No, Joe's not here. We lost a big leader, a spirit animal, a guy who sets the tone for us. It's the way they got to approach it, man. Next man up. It sucks when such an important guy goes down. But it's a next man up league. Justin School, you can give this team a huge headache by underperforming, or you can be the bottle of aspirin that everyone remembers all year long as the guy who solves so many problems just by being able to fill in for 6-7 weeks.
I think it's as much of a test for Kyle Shanahan and the offensive line coaching group as it is for anybody. Because Justin School could be the best version of Justin School, and he's still not going to be Joe Staley over the next 6 weeks. I think I can guarantee you that. So how do you help him out? Chip with tight ends. Can he get some help from the guard on this play? How do you put Justin School in the best possible circumstance to succeed? Now, it's possible there's nothing you can do, but you know Kyle Shanahan's going to take extra steps to try to protect School. And I'm interested to see how that works out.
Yeah, whatever he does, it's an unfair comparison. Because he isn't Joe Staley. McGlinchey isn't Joe Staley yet. I mean, he basically was handed the biggest shoes in the room to fill.
Yep.
And he's not going to look as good, and he is going to need help, and he's going to need help every week he starts there because he's not going to, you know, hit the ground running in 1 week. It's not reasonable to expect it. It's almost a detriment to mention him and Staley in the same sentence in that way. Just because, you know, the massive difference between Staley going out and just offensive lineman X going out is enormous. It just is. And that's why the idea that he should simply try to be as good as he can be and, like you said, rely on Shanahan to bail him out because he's going to need bailing out. He's going to need bailing out a fair amount of the time, not because he's an NFL player, but because he's being asked to do so much, so quickly, and with so little prep.
You want to know what you got to do? You got to coach him up. It's just that simple. Kyle Shanahan, coach him up. Peter King says you're the right guy for the job.
I've thought all along that Kyle Shanahan was the right guy for this job, particularly with a young, impressionable, malleable quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo. And I just think you got to let him have the season.
Let's see if he can have the whole season, if he stays healthy for a whole season. You look at where they were going into week 3 just a season ago. What a difference a year makes. We talk timelines on this program, the timeline that brought us from the disaster that came out of week 3 to the hope you're going into week 3 with. Man, what a difference a year makes. Peter King joined us yesterday. We asked him about one of the biggest names on the trading block. By the way, Jalen Ramsey has been told he's playing tomorrow night for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Apparently, the conversation that blew up between him and Doug Marrone has been put to bed a little bit, and the player will play. Does that mean the player might get traded? We don't know. He's not going to be traded before tomorrow night. If Jalen Ramsey really were on the block, we asked Peter King, should the Niners be interested?
You have to really do some fact-finding on Jalen Ramsey, because at times he has been a disruptive guy. And if you trade for him, it's probably going to cost you something in the vicinity of, at best, a 1 and a 2, and maybe 2 1s.
Is the juice worth the squeeze? Maybe not at this time for that player right here and now. But who isn't interested in bona fide shutdown corners? And, oh, by the way, his new mentor is named Richard Sherman. Like, I understand why it's easy to say, yeah, okay, go ahead and do that, but is that the right time to try to get the juice out of him? 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up, how about this? I want to let you know what's coming up. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be saying hello to Ron Jaworski. I've also been told, what do we got? Brian Baldinger's on with us tomorrow? Brian Baldinger is going to be joining us at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Sounds good to me. I like that an awful lot. We love saying hello to Brian. Mike McGlinchey, 5 o'clock today. He was just talking about Justin School. We're just talking about the offensive line. Who better to talk Niner offensive line with than Niners starting offensive lineman Mike McGlinchey at 5 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Blitz coming, and they dump it off to Mosher. And blocking it, Mosher will take it to the house. A touchdown for the 49ers. 39-yard touchdown on a screen to Raheem Mostert.
The call on Fox, Mostert scoring on that beautiful 39-yard touchdown screen pass play from Garoppolo to one of his backs. And I'll tell you, 49er running backs in this passing game are going to be a huge part of the game plan that we see happen at Levi Stadium this weekend to slow down a Pittsburgh pass rush. Both the Seahawks and the Patriots decided to kill the Steelers, just passing to running backs out of the backfield all afternoon long. Seattle, 7 targets, 7 catches. The Patriots, and this is where you really want to start leaning. Like, if Bill Belichick says, let's do that, you should probably say, let's do that as well. Bill Belichick saw such an advantage throwing to running backs out of his backfield that he had 15 running backs targeted for 10 catches in the Patriots' win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, slowing down Watt and company by having to stay honest on these backs coming out of the backfield. Guess what? Niners looked like they were really good at that last weekend in Cincinnati.
Raheem Mostert in particular, a guy in the screen game to be aware of, and that's something Breida does too. It's good. Strength matching up with the weakness of the opponent.
Minkah Fitzpatrick, how good does he look in a few days of practice with the Pittsburgh Steelers? The whole thing's going to be really fascinating. The fact that the Steelers added a player is interesting, man. It really is. You wouldn't think this was going to be the week that they were going to go out on a limb to take away a little of tomorrow for today, when today became so blurry with the Ben Roethlisberger injury. Oh, speaking of today, I do want to let you know that Drew Brees is tweeting that his surgery on his hand was successful enough to where he will now begin rehab, and the Saints will not be putting him on injured reserve, ending his season. They think he might be able to play again. When and how well? Those are the big questions.
Well, I'd always saw that it was 4 to 6 weeks, so I'm not surprised. And when you call a surgery success, what is that? The patient lived? The hand wasn't removed? I mean, did they fix everything they said they were going to fix? I mean,
I don't know what a successful surgery is, considering the fact I've never been introduced to an unsuccessful surgery. Never in sports, as someone said, bad surgery, we're behind schedule.
No, but you can tell what an unsuccessful surgery is if the problem isn't solved, or if the patient can't play football anymore, or if he
Right.
Right, but that'll never be never be the surgery's
fault. Well, they won't
fault.
Announce it, but you don't wait for the announcement. You can judge it on objective grounds.
We have seen unsuccessful surgeries. We have never heard about them. And that will continue to be the case.
Yes, that is indeed true.
What, the successful surgery has 1,000 fathers. The unsuccessful surgery is an orphan.
No, he has a lawyer.
Robert in San Jose. How you doing, Robert? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just had a quick question for you guys. Thank you, first of all, for taking my call. Secondly, if Jalen Ramsey does get picked up, let's say Friday, Saturday, would he play on Sunday or Monday night football with the other teams that they pick up? Because
No.
I do realize there are other teams out there.
No, it wouldn't.
No? Okay. So you're saying could he play two games in a week? Is that the question?
Yeah.
I had not thought of that, but how cool would that be?
No, you cannot dress for two NFL teams in the same week of play.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure about that, yeah.
This is a fascinating wrinkle that I had not considered.
I'm not sure about that.
I mean, to be clear.
It's madness.
It's not going
to
happen.
And a player who volunteered for that is probably unfit to walk among us. But
that would be...
I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Albie, who tweeted about this earlier that you just said? Ian Rappaport tweeted earlier. And I actually thought that this is one of those, I don't know why I know it, but I think I know it from another conversation in another season. I don't think you're allowed, whatever NFL week you're in, and we all, you know, these are all established weeks, Thursday through the Monday night game, you're not allowed to play for two teams in one week.
Here it is. Per NFL rules, this is Ian Rappaport at Rapsheet. No player may be on a club's 46-player active list for more than one game per week.
There you go.
So that seems ridiculous.
It seems like the sort of thing they wrote yesterday when they noticed that this could potentially happen with Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. But hey, as long as it's written.
What you should be able to do is you should be able to play for one team on Thursday, another on Sunday, and then a third team on Monday.
It'd be like Will Ferrell playing one inning at a different position for nine different teams in spring training.
Lorenzo said it absolutely can happen. You are allowed to play for two. I don't know. Well, if
it doesn't matter what Lorenzo said. Yeah. Ian Rappaport has it per NFL rules, so I think the conversation's over.
And I do love Lorenzo. Well,
the question arises whether Schefter or Mort had it a minute before, because you've heard about that spat, yeah. Right?
Yes.
What happened?
Apparently, there were three different player announcements that ESPN tweeted out. And literally a minute later, Rappaport put it up with sources set three times in about an hour. And Mortensen basically sent out three tweets of his own. One rat emoji followed by another tweet with two rat emojis and then a third one with three rat emojis. So it's media on media bitch fest.
Wow. Okay.
See, you miss all the fun.
Yeah, I totally miss that. I don't.
Your child is eating up far too much of your time.
Grown men using emojis to rip each other it does very little for me. By
grown
the way.
Men using emojis.
Yeah.
Period.
No, thank
that's
you.
That's insane.
I like emojis. I do not.
I am somehow not surprised by that development. Yeah.
Use your words. Why are we going back to hieroglyphics? My God.
Because it's fun.
No, it's not. Anyways, we do have.
We'll tell you what's fun, damn
it. We do have a saying, you know, hey, Steve Kerr had an unsuccessful surgery. That was reported as unsuccessful. Yes, it was. The Dana Carvey, who joined us during Celebrity Week, had an unsuccessful surgery, which was something that he sued and won an awful lot of money over, I would imagine.
Right. But again, I assure you that minutes after that surgery, the doctors nor the patients came out and said, I'm afraid we've had an unsuccessful surgery. Those were later proven unsuccessful because they did not work.
Good question. Would you say that Jet McKinnon had an unsuccessful surgery? I would not. I would say his rehab obviously didn't take, but he did an awful lot of things after the surgery to suggest that the surgery took enough for him to do all those other things, and it was doing those other things which failed him, not hopping off the gurney.
Who knows?
But he hasn't played a lick, so how successful was anything? It wasn't at all. So there's that.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't know if you can call it successful if he never gets back on the field.
Well, it could be successful if what the surgeon is telling you is you'll be able to walk again. Depends on where they put the bar.
That's true.
But if his whole career is like,
I'm not going to be here.
Wasn't a very successful surgery.
No.
888-957-9570. Would it be successful for the NFC West to go 10-1-1? It could happen. It's out there. It sounds like an awful lot of assumptions need to be made, but it's the kind of scenario where you can start assuming some things. So, in order for 10-1-1 for the NFC West to exist, they got to run the table next week. The NFC West needs to run the table next week. Here's what the table looks like. Of course, I lost the page.
The Panthers visit the Cardinals.
The Panthers visit the Cardinals, which sounds like the best chance for an NFC West team to take a loss, because you can't count on the Cardinals, but you certainly can't count on the Panthers if there's no Cam Newton, and there might be no Cam Newton for that game.
As of today, Cam Newton is still in a walking boot as he battles a reaggravation of his mid-foot sprain. The team will know more about his status soon, but he has yet to practice this week.
And by the way, they're 0-2 with Cam Newton, and even if Cam was out there, looking at the Cam Newton that I saw go 0-2, that ain't Cam Newton anymore, not until he gets some help. So there you go, right there. The hardest-to-see win gets a little easier on its surface when you subtract Cam Newton.
Especially when you add Kyle Allen.
Who?
Exactly.
Kyle Allen.
He could have been the name game.
That could have been a name. We'd still be playing it if Kyle Allen had been the name game correct.
Imagine how much easier life would be if we just kick back, go outside, have a smoke.
Two-hour name game.
Be like last night's Giants game. Be like, we are in the 15th inning of the name game. We have used 12 pitchers.
No, it wouldn't be like that because the name game couldn't last 5:54. We'd leave, and then the night crew would have to pick it up.
We don't ever want to have to hand it off like a baton.
Oh, why not?
Because we clean up our own messes here.
It's our name game, Ray.
Yeah.
Ours and ours alone.
So, who do the Seahawks have again?
Seahawks. Here's my schedule. Hosting the Saints. Saints sans Drew Brees.
No Drew Brees. Again, it's getting easier. It's getting easier for the NFC West to go 10-1-1 after 3 weeks of football. Seahawks versus no Drew Brees. Cardinals versus very likely not to see Cam Newton. Even if you see Cam, he hasn't won anything yet. Really can't even throw past the line of scrimmage right now.
Rams get the Sunday night game against the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns, not exactly.
Baker Mayfield downgraded to, oh my God, we're afraid.
I mean, it's not even a real wristwatch. Did you see that? It's a Fugazi.
Wait, what?
Odell is not wearing a $2 million watch. That is a $99 watch that is supposed to look like the $2 million watch.
Wait, seriously?
Yes, and he's got an endorsement deal with the company.
Well, of course he has an endorsement deal. That doesn't surprise me.
That's all it is.
But then why can't you get the real watch if you got the endorsement?
It's not a real watch.
I'm disappointed. I was unaware of this.
America is not lining up to buy a $2 million wristwatch that Odell Beckham Jr. wore on Monday Night Football at Macy's on Tuesday. But the $99 knockoff, maybe.
Nobody's buying a $2 million wristwatch.
Well, no, but that's not why you have him wear the $2 million wristwatch. You do that to create brand familiarity, which, frankly, I had never heard of Richard Mille, and now I have. So that worked to some degree. But I don't understand. I didn't see that it was not the real thing.
It's not the real thing.
That's very disappointing.
It's in Cleveland. There's no $2 million watch in the city of Cleveland.
That's, I mean, if
the
there way, was,
that's,
though.
That's the way the city of Cleveland works.
But if there was.
You can spend big money in Cleveland. It's just a very small block of the city's downtown. But I've been to Cleveland enough times to see things that, frankly, would make your jaw drop in terms of price.
Oh, you can
piss away money in just about any place.
You could have, like, seven houses in a row, all priced under $80,000. You can buy the block in Cleveland for what you have to put together as a down payment on one property.
Sounds right.
Here in the Bay Area.
Well, that's real estate. That's not wristwatches.
Yeah, no, that is real estate, not wristwatches. So, Mike McGlinchey is going to be joining us in just a moment. We're really looking forward to going inside the 49ers locker room for that conversation. As a matter of fact, that can begin right here and now.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.